I'm J.P. Mose, and I'm an old boatswain. And not too many boatswains left. So this is the seventh month and the 30th day. Back in 1979, I started building canal boats. And on December the 19th, in 1983, I donated the first boat at Perry Hill to the Seno Canal National Headquarters. And the president of the superintendent, Mr. Stanton, and Lee Thrill. I said at that time I was going to string them the 184 mile along the canal. And I have wrecked that. On the 27th day of April in 1996, I donated my last boat in Cumberland to the Seno Canal National Park. And the day that I donated that park, I made a statement that this day really means something to me. Of course, I said, I know you people's going to wonder why. So this one time was a boat yard. And I was a barefooted boy playing over the lumber yards. So we loaded our boat and started down the canal from Cumberland. We got down the North Branch. We hit a stone, knocked a hole in the boat. The boat sunk right there. Well, the water had to be drawn out of the canal. People from the boatyard come down, boxed the hole in down in the bottom, the front end of the boat. They changed their manifest, changed their weigh bill for Winningsport. So we went to Winningsport and was unloaded to come back to Cumberland. Well, we had to have the boat pulled out on dry dock to fix the hole in the boat. And they had like four big skids. It was on wheels that they run out under the boat. And on each end they had a windlass. Now the center ones were just more, you say, dummies. So they pulled the boat up on these. And they had a big windlass on each end. They didn't have no steam or electric. And they hooked a mule to each one. So there was two arms come out from the top of this windlass. One that you hooked him to and the other you tied his head to. Well, they had to ground. Well, I can remember that as same as it was just yesterday. When they started to pull that boat out, I crawled up on the lumber pile and watched them pull it out. When I delivered that boat up there, I forgot about the date. But that was in the year of 1906. That was just 80 years ago when they pulled that boat out on dry dock and I sat on the lumber pile. I was 7 years old. So they fixed the boat. And naturally we started down the canal with a load. Well, Cumberland today, you could hardly recognize it was a canal one time of day. The wharf is gone. Everything was around there and when it was a canal is not there anymore except in the lock. The locker's there. But you know, later on, They built a new boatyard right down below the Fooders Dye Works. And they built a bridge across there that you could take your mules across. Before, you had to bring them up around by the boatyard. And right across from the new boatyard, it was a blacksmith shop. You'd take your mules there, look them over. If they needed new shoes, you put them on. And it was a big stable close where you could put your mules in. Well, right as you come off of that bridge, there was a, I guess you would call it, where they kept the bridles. You'd call it a little storehouse, I guess. It was a man tended to it. If you needed something done to your harness, or you needed a new bridle, or something in the way of the harness line, if you didn't have it, he got it for you. Of course, they had a row of sheds down close to the loading dock, right close to the office. That's all gone away with. There's nothing there anymore. The subway is filled up. And what we used to call Shantytown, there just ain't Shantytown there anymore. Just a few broken down buildings. It used to be some fairly nice buildings though. There was a nice brick building standing on the end of the corner just as you start down the driveway. A man named Ambrose Murphy. He kept store there. The boatswains all bought their food there. Then there was a man named Bob Cobley, had a saloon jammed up right together. And had a bowling alley. Right below it was another saloon, a fellow named Clark. Then Bill Westbrook had one. Then there was a restaurant there. I forget what the restaurant was called, but some old lady run it. You could buy a bowl of soup for about a nickel or a dime. But in later years then, they built a new boatyard below the dye works, and they done away with that boatyard up there. Of course, that made it much better. But we started down the canal. You go from lock to lock. All locks was the same. They had four gates, two above, two below. Each one of the gates had two paddles in. And of course, you come to the lock, going downstream, you throw your line over the upper gate, and you throw it over the lower gate, over the lock beam. The team kept on going. Well, when a boat hit the lock, a boat slowed up a good bit. Of course, you got the bow line. It was post at the lower gates and post at the upper gates. You snubbed the boat in the lock. Of course, the boatswain, they shut the gates on their side. And they hoisted the paddle on their side, lowered the boats down in the lock. They opened the gate on their side. Of course, I was quite a small boy. When I'd hit a couple locks together, I'd hit the towpath and stay with the team. And if it was on level right below it, 1 mile or 2 mile, I still stayed out on the towpath with the driver. Of course, you got down to Georgetown. You got the lock five. They told you whether to keep on going to Rock Creek or stop in the wide water, which was above the Echo Dock Bridge, which is the Key Bridge now. You go down to Rock Creek, and there was a row of stables there where you'd put your mules in when you locked out in the river. Of course, you had to put so much feed there. It all depends upon where you was going to be unloaded. There was an office between the mule shed and the river lock. So there's a fellow named Charlie Kingston. He'd give you the orders where you was going to go to be unloaded. Of course, it might be in and head, or it might be right there at the wharf. The unloaded coal right there. And in slow times, there used to be big barges come in there. And they'd unload the boats in those barges. And those barges, I far as I can remember, held around about 10 or 12 boatloads of coal. And when they got loaded, they towed them out, going down past all the bridges and out to the Goodwater. They were sailboats. They put up their sails. And they tell me them boats went clean out up in the New England states. So nevertheless, if you went to Indian Head, if the tugboat hooked to you, took you to Indian Head. Didn't matter where you went, it took you there by tugboat. The tugboat was named the Windship. But they tell me, in later years, the last 2 years of the canal run, they had another tugboat. Well, I don't remember that, because I didn't boat the last 2 years. But when I boated, the Windship was down the Indian Head. It was a little tugboat named Toby, used to take you around. Well, of course, when you got unloaded, you started back up the canal. And of course, you could make better time coming up the canal. You probably could travel about 3 miles an hour coming upstream. Of course, when you met a boat coming downstream, they had the right of way. You took your team out around their team. You either stopped and let the mules go over or bear down on the line. And when you got back to the boat, you stopped the team. Of course, the line would sink. The boat would go over. Well, you'd get up to Cumberland, of course, you'd get to the tunnel. There was another place. Coming downstream, there was no trouble to see a boat coming in the tunnel. But when you was coming upstream, you couldn't see a boat in the tunnel till you was right there. We always slowed down. And when the team got to the tunnel, we stopped them and took a good look. If there's no boat coming downstream, we went on. If there's boat coming downstream, we had to, there were some pins drove in the rocks along there. Throw your line out around them, pull your boat to the side till that boat got out. Before that boat got out, if there's another one come in, you still had to stay there. The guy got there first was the man. He didn't hold up, wait on another fellow. Of course, you come on up to Cumberland, and you get on another load of coal, and you start down the canal. But one thing about boating, after night in fall of the year, when the days were short and the nights was long, steering a canal boat was a pretty lonely job. And it was a sleepy job. You could sleep to stand at the tiller stick. Well, you had to do something to keep awake. Well, lots of people all blowed the horn, a lot of people sang. Well, that's what I did. I had a song I used to sing about an old mule. And it went something like this. I had an old mule, and her name was Zell. She spent 15 years on the Sino Canal. She was a good old mule and a good old gal. After 15 years on the Sino Canal, I ate my meals with Zell every day. I eat meat and she eat hay. Good old mule and a good old gal. After 15 years on the Sino Canal. Hit that mule and make that lock. You'll be home by 6 o'clock. Good old mule and a good old gal. After 15 years on the Sino Canal. She was a good old mule and a good old gal. After 15 years on the Sino Canal.